A woman feels her power when her voice is being heard. A woman feels her power when her voice is being heard. So
the
listen.
Earth will be healed by the women of the world.
Welcome to the Incremental Steps podcast.
I'm Christine.
And I'm Stephanie. And we are a couple of curvy, savvy, curious, wise women trying to strike a balance between career, family, and self-care while striving to leave the planet better off than the way we found it.
We're learning that we can't do it all alone. We need each other, all of us. So each week or two, we're going to check in with each other on our health goals and challenge each other to find new ways to leave a lighter footprint.
Our theme music is called A Woman Feels Her Power by Karen Drucker. Thanks to Karen for letting us use it. Oh. Hey, Christine.
Hey, Stephanie. How are you this week?
I'm much better, thank you. I had a pretty hard week, but it's getting better now. I came down with a cold last week, which is why we didn't record. But I think I'm most of the way back now. I sound to me like me instead of me with, you know, like, I don't know, water on the nose. So
yay.
I'm happy about that.
Yay. Should we start out with our what we could talk about like we did the first one?
Sure. Do you have anything you want to share before that? Or
no,
just
I
go
think
straight
we,
into it?
I think okay. We go straight into the what we could talk about and go back and forth, and then we'll dive into it.
Okay. Go ahead. You start.
All right. So I could talk about the power of petitions and Trader Joe's.
Oh, wow. Okay. I could talk about the healing power of working in the yard.
Ooh. I could talk about my new raised garden bed.
Ooh, exciting. Okay. I could talk about, I could talk about wildly fluctuating weight.
I could talk about, getting derailed by, caregiving and things outside of my control.
Okay, so that's some things.
Right, and I think I also could talk about setting ourselves up for success.
Right, so that's what we're going to talk about today. Today we're going to talk about setting yourself up for success. That's our larger theme for today. So what would you say if you were talking about setting yourself up for success, or do you have...
I would say I haven't done a very good job so far. I know what to do and I know how to do it, but I haven't slowed down enough to do it. So,
yeah.
You know, one of the first things I think about when I think about things like health and caregiving and wellness, I think about meal planning. I think about having a routine or schedule. And I should back up. So a week ago, my husband had some outpatient surgery. And I did last weekend when we weren't able to record because you were down sick and out. I did a pretty good job of setting myself up for success in a manner of, I think I channeled my mother. You know how everything in the house had to be clean. I worked out in the yard got clean. Like my workouts last weekend were yard work and it was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It was absolutely beautiful. It goes with what you said you could talk about.
Yeah.
The yard.
Yeah.
And health.
Absolutely.
So I think that was good. I would also think when I think about setting myself up for success, I know for me and the crazy full life I lead, I have to schedule my workouts. Because this whole thing about, oh, I'll get to them or I'll make time for that later is like the biggest lie I think I ever tell myself. Like it is just not true. Like it has to be scheduled. And it usually has to happen first, unless I have what I call play dates with somebody. Like I have scheduled to meet somebody at the park to go for a hike, or I have, but if it is not on the calendar,
the workouts are what fall off.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Cause 100 people are tugging at me every day. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then I may not stop work until 10 o'clock at night. And you know me, like if it's after 10 o'clock, nothing's happening.
Nobody works out after 10 o'clock at night.
You know what? You say that, but I was coming back from, a class I was teaching and I had parked, near a workout place and it was probably 11 o'clock when I got back And there were people like going into the gym at 11 o'clock at night. I could barely function to drive at that time. I'm like,
I don't
what?
Believe it. They've got night jobs. They, I don't know. There's a reason.
I don't know. Or they're 20. That's the only reason.
Truth.
So
yeah,
what about
sure.
you when you think about setting yourself up for success?
Well, yeah. Okay. So doing this particular plan that I'm on, it is the good thing is it's inexpensive because it's mostly fruits and vegetables, but it's a lot of prep or the meals don't get put together. So I have to spend the better part of my weekend doing the grocery shopping for it and then prepping as much as I can and cooking as much as I can at the beginning of the week so I have it to grab during the week. But I have to tell you, I've been doing it for like a month now, and that is wearing on me. It's like I don't have...
So it's not getting easier.
No. Well, yeah, yes and no. Like I'm getting my head around what kind of food I like and mm-hmm. how to go about that. But having to do so much work on the weekends when I already have a lot going on is really challenging.
On a weekend like this weekend where it's gorgeous here in Georgia.
Yeah.
Like, we wanted to be outside. Like, I mean, well, we had a little bit of rain, but then the sun came out and it was in the 60s to 70. It was gorgeous.
No, and that's another setting myself up for success thing for me this weekend. It's March, and March in Georgia is very often rainy. But if you want to have a garden and you don't start working on it in March, you don't have a garden in April, which is when you need to have it set up and ready to go for planting. And we have a lot of big garden plans this year. So I was like, I don't care if there's the weathermen here in Georgia.
Weather people, because we have some good
weather. Yes. Okay.
One of my favorite meteorologists.
The weather folk. They love to say things like, oh, it looks like it's going to be thunderstorms this weekend, folks. And everybody's like, oh, man. But, I think there was like a 20% chance of scattered thunderstorms. And I was like, nope, we're working in the yard. I'm not falling for that again. So we've got a whole, like, we have bits of the garden we have to work on each weekend
right.
to get done what we want to get done.
Well, last weekend, can I tell you? I don't know that I called and told you this. So I put in a raised garden bed. And I wanted to do it before the freeze, because that's the other thing about Georgia. Like, we're going up, down, which a lot
right.
of the country is right now. But I wanted to get in a raised bed before the freeze came and before my husband had the surgery, because he couldn't lift anything over 10 pounds. So I had plans for him.
Wait, did he have eye surgery?
He did, but he can't.
You can't lift?
No, anything over 10 pounds for a solid week. So you don't even realize,
okay.
like, right? So
I guess it puts pressure on your eyes.
It does. And so I built a raised garden bed out of concrete
cinder blocks,
right? So I went to one of the big box stores on recommendation of my dad, who's a farmer, because he used to build his raised beds out of garden timbers. Well, they're wood. You know, they're going to rot.
Right.
So he has switched to cinder blocks, because not only do they not rot, but the little holes that are in them, you can get extra garden space in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went, I'm looking at them, regular price, they're $1.69, but lo and behold, there was this huge pile to the right of the store. And I'm like, what's going on over there? He's like, oh, those are ones we use for display. I can give you those for 50 cents a piece.
Ooh, all right. That's our big project. Our big project is a cinder block keyhole garden. So you need to give me, I need the.
I'll give you the hookup on that.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing I would like to say to everybody, like, ask if they have any that are discount.
Yeah.
Cause I went from expecting to spend $100 on a raised garden bed to spending $25 on my container. $25.
Okay. We're not going to. Okay,
my dirt costs more than that, but I know I'm off track. Left turn. Hey, before we go much further, let's check in about last week's challenge or when we met 2 weeks
okay,
ago.
Okay. So we had talked about metal straws.
Right.
And we both agreed that they were cute, but not that necessary because it's easy to pretty much just drink out of the glass.
I do have to tell you something funny though.
Okay.
Like after we did that podcast, I think it was in the energy or the air, because I go home and my kids are using all their metal straws.
Mm.
And they didn't listen to
really?
Us. Like they didn't hear it. So now I'm cleaning metal straws.
What
there's
do you think about
cleaning
metal straws?
Ooh, there's a whole other issue there. It's another step.
I do like the silicone better for that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little trickier, but I mean, I'm happy they're using them. And not that I buy plastic ones anymore, because those are banned in my household. But then our next challenge was to talk about plastic versus paper versus reusable bags. And the big one for us was if we order in, making sure that we made.
Yeah, there's not a way. Okay, so I haven't done that. I haven't done the order in. Like, being sick threw everything off for me.
Yeah.
So I ended up having to make a bunch of short trips.
Okay.
And
how'd that go for you?
Not good. I didn't remember to bring bags with me for that, if I'm buying one or two things. But what I did notice was that, like, you can go pretty far without using bags. So the produce bags were the big problem for me, because everything right now for me is fruits and vegetables.
Right.
So, there were some instant, like if I got the bulk food, I had to have the plastic bag to put it in to do
what
the thing.
What would your option be otherwise?
Yeah, I don't know that I have another option there.
Well, there's a co-op store in town, which we don't usually shop at because it's 40 miles away from us. But I have seen people bring their containers in for that.
But I
think it has to be, like, I don't know on the chain ones that you could do that. So that's a good.
I have mesh bags for produce.
Okay.
But I didn't find that they were a little weird to me. I used them once, and honestly, I was going through the thing thinking, is she gonna freak out when she sees that it's produce but it's not in a normal bag?
Right.
No, didn't have a problem with it at all. It's Sprouts. They were very, like, totally fine with that. But they were awkwardly sized. So there was like one small one and then one real big one, and I don't know, it didn't really work out that well. So, but I did find, like, a lot of things already come grouped in meshes and mesh things. So if I could, I bought it that way. So I wasn't adding anything.
Yeah.
If I could get just one of something, I asked for it not to be put in. And I tried to remember to bring the bags. But but I had mixed results on the plastic bag. I have work to do yet there.
So I feel like I did really good on this challenge.
I
ordered in, and I did put in my notes, please use paper bags. And they did. And that was perfect. When I went to the store, I either just didn't get a bag, because if it was a short trip, like I was running in, I just carried it. Which, can I tell you, checkers give you the weirdest looks when you say, no, thank you, I don't need a bag, or I'll just carry it. Like, sometimes it blows their mind. Like, they're like, what? Are you sure?
Yeah.
Or I'll say, keep the bag. Or, you know, it's very interesting, like, the social cues you get or don't get when you're doing this. But, I mean, most of my checkers know me now, right? And so they see, you don't need a bag. Nope, I'm good. So that happened. So here was the thing where I found a challenge, right? I'm feeling good about myself. I'm feeling like we're doing this challenge. I'm rocking it. I am, like, 100% compliant. And my dear, sweet, loving husband walks in the door. I can't tell you how many plastic bags he was carrying. And I was like, okay. So this is one of the things I want to talk to you about this week. Like, yes, we're doing this. And how do we have that ripple effect? And what are the incremental steps we can take beyond ourselves, right? Because I know it all starts with ourselves. I know, I mean, in my philosophy, almost everything. Like, we got to get right with ourselves, right?
Sure.
And, you know, we have a joke in my household that if my husband and I ever get a divorce, it's going to be over recycling. Because it is one of those issues that drives me crazy, right? And it's like, so how do we, even with the people we know and love the best and live with, you know, whether they're roommates or loved ones or we're married to them, like that piece, right? I was like, okay. And I know we can't tackle it all at one time, but that was my, like, I'm here.
No, I think that's an ongoing part of the challenge, right? It's not just, like, we want, if we really want to leave a lighter footprint, it can't just be us walking. It's everybody's footprint in our family. So,
right.
But I think that you do it by getting, I think you start with yourself. Like, obviously, I've got more work to do before I start telling my kids that they can't have plastic bags, because I'm still figuring that out, and I still forget sometimes to bring the bags. But, I mean, I think when you're aware of it, you do better. When you know better, you do better, right? That's the
right. And it's also like when you're reformed on something like that, like, you're the worst, because then you're like,
you're the big evangelist. Like, yeah, and, you know, growing up in my background, like growing up as a preacher's kid, I really resist the, I very much resist looping my kids into whatever my thing is.
Right.
They get to figure things out for themselves. I'm not putting that on them much. So, but there are ways to just be encouraging. Like, hey, let's try. My family got, my son jumped right on board with the metal straws thing. And then my daughter is starting to use the silicone ones more. Right.
Well, and that's working. They did jump in on that. And my kids, I think, are more savvy than I am about a lot of this stuff, right? Like, we've had discussions about the effects of plastics on our oceans and using. So I don't think it's my kids. I think it's my dear husband who I got to have these conversations with, and not in a, hey, you're doing something bad way, but hey, this is what I'm striving for. What do you think about this?
I'm curious. Because I'm trying to picture Steve walking into a grocery store carrying bags, and I have a hard time picturing him doing that. I think he might have an issue with that. What do you think? That Joe would?
That's a very good question. Like, for a while, I was doing really good with having the bags in the back of the car. And if I would say, hey, grab the bags, he'd grab the bags. He has no issue, like, I'm with him. Or we're using them together.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a convenience factor.
You don't think it's a gender normative?
I don't think so. I think you'd totally do it. I think it's a matter of, are they where they're supposed to be? Like, if it's convenient, it's going to happen, right? I think one of the things that he struggles with, like asking for paper over plastic, is like, I had a big blowout this week. I've had my paper bags, and I'm going to leave the store, and one of them completely rips, and stuff goes everywhere, right? So in some ways, paper can be a challenge,
right,
depending on the paper one.
Yeah.
So I think for him, it's a convenience factor, which I think in our country, in America, that's a lot of where we've gotten into trouble, right? Is things being really convenient. And that's just my crackpot theory, as my friend Phil likes to say.
No, it's not crackpot at all. I mean, we have a well-documented disposable economy.
Right.
Yeah,
right?
No. Our economy depends on things like on planned obsolescence and single-use everything.
Right?
So, yeah, that's what we're fighting against.
Well, I was thinking about it this week, and I know it's not on our challenge yet, but, I look sometimes at my trash and recycles, and I'm just like, how can 4 people make this big... like, how can this pile be this big, right?
Maybe we should change the challenge. But so one big way to make that pile smaller is composting. Do you compost?
I would say maybe.
Seasonally? I don't do it
all
year.
I am a cyclical composter. I do really well. So I like composting. I like the idea of composting.
Me too.
And even when I put in this raised bed, right, one of the things I did is we had a tree that had to come down last year. And they cut mulch or bark and left me mulch or bark because I asked for some, right?
Mm.
So that was the bottom layer of my raised bed. So, there was 2 things. There was cardboard. To kill the grass and to also recycle cardboard because it'll disintegrate.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put
the water too.
Right. And so then I put the mulch down, and then I put some compost out of my composting, and then I put dirt that I bought because I didn't have really good dirt. So I mixed it all up. But that being said, I love the idea of composting. Now, where I have a challenge is I live with people that aren't always good at chores. And so I don't want my kitchen to be stinky. Like, having a good container for the compost that is taken out.
Yeah, we're going to have to do a whole episode on this because that's a big part of the garden I'm making and why. But also because, people make it sound like it's easy, and it's really, it's complicated when you have like a big yard and you've got to figure out where to put it. And
right.
I have to walk across dog poop to get to where I'd want to compost it every day, or it piles up and gets stinky. So I feel you.
Right. But yes, I want to say yes to more composting, and I'm doing a whole episode about it because I believe in it. And, I grew up on a miniature farm, so I was raised that way. Like, you don't waste. And part of when I look at my trash and recycle, though, what the extra is like things that are from single-use plastics, like things that are
packaging.
From the packaging, man. Like, oh my gosh. And, it's wild.
It's substantial. Yeah, it's so frustrating because, I see in my neighborhood, I notice that people that come from other cultures do a better job than I do.
Yeah.
Because they're not used to having all that packaging.
Right.
So that I know that they are buying more raw materials. They're doing the work in the house. They're buying giant bags of rice. So they're not having all that kind of packaging.
Right.
And I don't have the organizational skill to run my kitchen the way they do.
Right. And that's going back to our topic of setting ourselves up for success.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that takes a lot of planning.
A lot of planning. But is it one of those things that when you get it, you get it? Right.
Well, or is it that they're at home all day and they don't have to commute and spend 2 hours in their car? And right. I mean, right. I only have so many hours in a day.
Right. And how do we do it? Right?
Yeah.
How do we do it? And who does it? Is it all us? Is it part of our families? Like, what
Girl,
is the...
Girl, let me just say.
Tell me. Speak it.
Apparently, when I have a cold, everything in this house just stops.
Oh, man.
It was here waiting for me. It was waiting for me to get better.
Oh, you're so lucky.
Yeah.
You're so lucky.
Yeah, they saved it for me. Even the dishes.
Well, you know, this week with my dear husband being down and out, couldn't even lift 10 pounds or...
I still think that's funny.
But that
My eye!
No, but it's true. So couldn't lift 10 pounds and couldn't lean over. Couldn't bend over. So,
wait,
you know, what that means...
Can't bend over.
No, because you don't want your head to go below your heart and you don't want the pressure on your eye.
Okay, I guess
so,
that hurt.
So, no loading the dishwasher. No taking out trash or recycling.
How convenient.
No bringing groceries up.
Oh, like, I think I need surgery. My eye feels bad.
He threatened that he was going to get a little bell for him.
Oh, I bet he did.
And the nurse said, can I just say, you don't want to do that.
Yeah,
you really
I
do not want to do it. He didn't. He was an awesome patient and is healthy and well. But, I mean, to that point, though, it threw our whole routine off, right? Because there was caregiving, there were doctor's appointments, there was surgery, there were things that usually weren't in our schedule, which I think as moms and as full and busy lives as we have, working and doing and everything we do, I think that happens, right? Like, I don't know about you. Well, I do know about you. Our schedules are never the same every week. Like, there's something in the evening.
But I think don't you think it's more and more common, though, that especially women in America have to have some kind of side hustle going on in addition to what they're doing or some kind of activism or some volunteerism that they're working on or activities in their church, their faith community, their community. Yeah.
I think they've always been, but
you're listening to this podcast and all you have to do is work and come home,
more power to you.
First of all, I've got a couple of projects I can do some help with. And second of all, I want your secret.
Right. And if you're bored, we definitely have some projects, right? Yeah. I'm thinking about last week. So, probably a total of 4 doctor's appointments, a concert for one of the kiddos, and then I was at the makerspace making bookmarks for an upcoming book tour I have. Like, there was just something every night. But I do have to report in about setting yourself up for success. So last weekend, I worked in the garden all weekend and hauling sticks and building that bed, and man, I was a little bit sore, I have to tell you. I hadn't been doing that in a while over the winter. And then I went and did 2 deep water aerobics classes this week, which usually I only get in one because of my schedule, but
yeah.
I was committed to self-care this week. Especially I was paying attention to it because I knew I was going to be caregiving, and that's when I can easily lose myself and not do my self-care. So I had more days.
And just for perspective, you are somebody who wrote a book on caregiving for caregivers.
Oh, right. So I practice, I very much practice what I preach. I do my best not to be a hypocrite about this.
But
so,
I mean, I'm saying it's even for you, it's a challenge.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. It's a challenge. And knowing full well it's going to be a challenge when something's heightened, like a surgery or, you know, when it's not. And for all my long-term caregivers that have to do it every day, right? The scheduling of it and making it happen. So yeah, I was really committed to it this last week. And I got in more yoga than not. I still didn't make it 7 days a week, but I did, I think I probably got 4 or 5 days of yoga in, which was good. And just to be really clear and transparent about my yoga, it is a like 15 to 20 minute yoga in the morning. It's a CD with Rodney Yee. It's me and Rodney Yee AM yoga. Like, and he's on a beach in Hawaii. AM, and that's my, it's my jam. It is my
I see you, girl. I see you looking at Rodney Yee in the morning.
I'm really looking at the ocean.
And the moon in front of the ocean.
And the whole thing that is 15 minutes. So yeah. I have really found that that sets me up for success for the day when I start my day with that. Mm-hmm. And the reason is because I'm in my body, right? If I start my day with that 15 minutes, it's not a whole hour. It literally is 15 minutes. And it includes like, I don't know, a minute of meditation. But I am in my body. I notice a huge difference from when I just jump and run. Because oftentimes if I jump and run, I don't ever make it to a workout. Like, I'm just not as conscious of it. But this week, I did the deep water aerobics, I did the yoga, I did some walking, I did some gardening. So I felt like I had a better week this week, exercise-wise, than I've had in a while.
That's good.
Yeah. And that being said, the sunshine and weather helps me tremendously.
So for me, the exercise front, last weekend, I walked one day, and I worked in the garden, the yard one day, clearing out so much stuff. And that's when I really, like, Saturday I was kind of okay working in the yard. Sunday I got up and walked, but by Sunday afternoon I was like, oh, this isn't going to be a little bit of a cold. This is going to be a whole lot of a cold. And so then I just shut down for most of the rest, for all the rest of the week. But then yesterday we worked in the yard again, and then today I walked again. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, so that felt good to get back into that routine. But I know what you're talking about. Like, it makes such a difference if you start your day with there's something about having that win. Like, I accomplished this thing. Even if it's, I like to do about 30 minutes of something, mm-hmm. and then about 10 minutes of some kind of stretching back yoga for me. But even having a green smoothie and knowing that I've accomplished part of the program that I'm on, and I've got kind of like, I don't have to worry about, I've gotten a lot of fruits and vegetables out of the way. It's a healthy start. Feels really good. And yeah, it does. It just puts you in a better place for when you get to the office and they're trying to get you to eat Girl Scout cookies.
Right.
So yeah, it's helpful.
Yeah.
But yeah, this last week, that's funny that we both had weeks where it was like, I need to take care of me right now.
Right.
And that's what I'm going to do.
Right.
So you were taking care of your husband. You were also taking care of
me. I was. But I felt like I did a good job of really paying attention to self-care this week, which I was, I'm going to consider that a win. And then I was teaching classes and, doing interplay, which just gets me moving. And so it was good.
So let me just say, I want to say a word or two about the wildly fluctuating weight.
Oh.
So I think just because I think when you're sick, your body wants salt. You want to, like, hold on to water. You want that saltiness on, like I do anyway, on my throat. Mm-hmm. When I'm stuffy like that. So it went down 2 pounds, up 5, and down 7, and then up 2.
Wow.
And I was like, whoa, can we just, everybody calm down?
Right.
So I think it was all just water, but yeah, it was frustrating.
Well, the last week, week before last, the one that we didn't really record last week, I was proud of myself because I did put numbers into the spreadsheet.
I saw you put numbers in.
And I was down almost 2, so I was feeling really good. But this last week, now I don't even honestly know where I'm at right now because that kind of dropped off this week. And it was a 3-meal Tex-Mex week this week, which is never, it was the convenience, right?
Oh, yeah.
It was the...
Oh, after you were like, I'm not going to do Tex-Mex
right?
anymore.
I know. Yeah, I think it was the stress, like the anxiety of the
comfort
surgery.
Food.
It is total comfort food for me. And then I had a situation this week where I got, one of those core issues of like not feeling good enough one of those issues came up that I was really processing and wrestling with. And so my go-to was biscuits and gravy It was gluten-free. It was gluten-free.
I am so jealous just the thought of that right now.
So, for those of y'all listening that don't know, I'm a Texas girl.
And I am, too.
You are, too. So, Stephanie and I, when we say biscuits and gravy, like, we were raised. Like, that is the ultimate comfort food, right?
Yeah, it is.
But can I also tell you, even being gluten-free, my body was like, what are you doing, sister?
What are you putting in me?
What are you putting in me? Because, yeah, it was wild, but
I have a confession to make.
Uh-oh.
I ate meat.
What?
And
what?
Cheese. Yeah,
and cheese. I love it.
when I was sick, I just didn't have the energy to do any kind of food prep.
Right.
And we had some lunch meat and some bread, and I was like, I'm having a sandwich.
How's your body like doing with it though?
Not good.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't like it.
Kind of no, I mean, I don't know. It's hard to say because I had a cold. It's hard to know how it really
is. Yeah, that's true. So I was thinking about you today because I was driving in and I was listening to 88.9. It's the sister station. It's our local NPR.
Uh-huh.
Is that right? And there was a guy that was talking about veganism. And he was talking about the impact on the environment. And he was talking about how we are literally trained to eat meat 3 meals a day.
Mm-hmm.
And that really resonated with me because I know that's true for me. Like, my grandfather was a beef farmer.
Right.
Like, and then my uncle was a pig farmer. Like, I mean, we grew up farm to table. Like, we grew up spoiled rotten as far as food grows because all of my people that I come from were gardeners and really good gardeners. So we grew up farm to table before that was even a label.
Right.
Before
it was cool.
Right. And it was just the thing you did, and you did have meat at every meal. Like, you did. So I don't know when this challenge, I think I may just personally challenge myself to start implementing like a meatless day or 1 or 2 days a week to see how it goes. Now, we did incorporate fish this week, which my family loves, but we get out of the habit of eating it. So,
oh, you definitely, if you're going to eat meat, fish is what you should be having.
I know. You know you are talking to the granddaughter of a beef farmer. Right?
Yeah, but I mean, you're also the granddaughter of a beef farmer. Like, right? It's not like you've got cows in your backyard. You can,
not anymore.
You can make your own decisions about what you want to eat.
That is true. And so I listened to this amazing podcast on the way into town. I'm thinking, I'll talk to this about Stephanie. You know, this is so inspiring. And then we had a performance today that went awesome, like performing art and social justice stuff. And we went out to eat afterwards, and where do we go? We go to a barbecue joint. And no self-control at a barbecue joint, right? No self-control. So I'm holding both in both hands, right? Like, it is, I see the value of it, and I've said to you before, I think I may have even said it last time we recorded, that I don't ever see myself being a full vegan. But
and
I don't see...
here's where I am with that.
Tell me.
So there's a...
This lunch meat eater.
No, yeah. There's a famous herbalist, I'm not going to name, but she has a podcast too, and people can call in and ask things. And like, if somebody calls in and they're like, I'm suffering from exhaustion, I've got bone density issues, I've got, like, there's a host of things that the very first question she'll ask is, how long have you been a vegetarian? And they'll be like, 15 years. And she's like, well, there's your problem right there. So I do think that we are at our core omnivores. We mm-hmm. are not. We're not, we have eyes that face forward like predators. We are genetically meat eaters. And I do think that to some extent your body needs that, but you can do it to a much, much, much less extent.
Yeah.
You can have a little bit of yogurt. You can have a little bit of butter. You can have bone broth. You can have meat, like, really your body doesn't need it more than once every 2 or 3 weeks. It doesn't need it. That doesn't mean it's not what we've grown up with, but other places around the world,
right, that's
meat,
true.
Meat is a garnish.
Right.
It's too
right.
precious to be that the
right.
center of the plate.
I know. It's incredible, right?
So, yeah.
Things that we take for granted or do because of where we live. It's interesting.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm doing this. I'm committing to this for 12 weeks, except when
right.
I'm not. But
right.
Beyond that, I don't know. And I think I probably will want to have at least some yogurt or something like that, and occasionally have some amount of it. But I don't know. I think I could also see giving it up.
Right.
But
I have a friend that calls it meat light. She says her family's meat like.
Are flexitarian. I've heard that too.
Right. My sister was a pescatarian for a couple of years.
Pescatarian, right. She's just fish.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody has to kind of figure out for themselves how you do that. But I think in terms of it leaving a footprint on the planet, we definitely could eat a whole lot less of it.
Oh, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Now I just got to find the self-control button and stay away from barbecue joints.
That's hard. So jackfruit.
I have heard about jackfruit, but say more.
I haven't tried it yet, but
I've used it in cooking before.
You have?
I have, absolutely.
Well, so I know it basically is sort of a flavorless fruit if you catch it before it's ripe, so it has to be the green. And then you can just sauce it.
Right,
it has the texture. Yeah, so I haven't tried it yet because I can't have the sauces yet. But
right.
When I can.
Well, I have had it with the sauces before because I can't remember where I got it. It was probably Sprouts or Trader Joe's or something like that.
Yeah.
But it came in a prepackaged meal. And this was also when Alex was being a vegan. And it was good. You know, it was good. I definitely like that better than tofu.
So do you think you could put some barbecue sauce on that and call it barbecue?
God, no. We'll call it something else. We're not calling it barbecue.
All right.
I was talking to my friends today. You know, there are very few things that I am snobby about or that I am really picky about, but barbecue and Tex-Mex, like, right up at the top. Like, that's my roots,
girl. Some Tex-Mex.
It is my roots.
Okay, so we haven't talked about what our challenge is going to be for next week for our footprint challenge. So we did
the bags.
Okay with the bags. Well, you did fine. I need to work on that.
Yeah.
So let's add to that. Let's just add to that the water bottles.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I'm going to be traveling this week. And
you going to schlep a water bottle through an airport?
Absolutely. So I've done it before. Last time I traveled, I forgot it, and I felt really bad about it because I ended up buying a plastic water bottle, which I'm not a fan of. So this time I'm going to commit to taking my water bottle, and you just empty it before you go through TSA and security. And then once you get through, a lot of the airports now have the filtered water
right.
that you just put up there, and you get your water bottle.
So I have one challenge with that. Our refrigerator filter just broke, so I'm going to have to get like a Brita or something to be able to get that. But is there I don't know what the rules are about taking a water bottle into an airport. Can it be any kind of water bottle? Can it be metal?
Yeah. So the thing is, it just can't have liquid in it when you go.
Okay. So
TSA.
As long as it's empty,
so
and they
you
can
drink it,
see
or
it.
You, they can see it. I put it in my backpack. And then once I'm through security, I fill it up.
Okay. Well, I think we're going to rock this challenge because I have a little, it's like a knockoff Yeti.
Mm-hmm.
Metal cup that I take almost every day to work.
Yeah, I gotta find my water bottle. We're talking about setting ourselves up for success.
That's right. You better find
it
first.
I'm like, because I have this awesome, fun, and funky water bottle that I've been to a couple conferences that I put my stickers on, and it's been missing for a little bit. So I need to find it. Yeah, it's probably in the back seat of my truck. You know how I roll.
Good luck with that.
Good luck with her. I got 2 days to find it. I can do it. I can do it. Yeah, because that's my other thing is I don't want to give in to the convenience of just, going and buying something new, right?
And is that something you think you can take? So you're going to New York.
Yep, going to New York.
You're
going to
schlep it around New York?
Oh, yeah.
All
right. I'm a big fan of that.
Okay.
I'm a big fan of that, especially because I don't want to buy plastic water bottle. And I like having water with me. And so
let me ask another question. Okay, so plastic water bottles is what we're talking about. That's the challenge.
Right. Not doing plastic.
Because you know, this girl likes some LaCroix.
Oh, okay.
And I recycle those, but it is a metal can.
I'm okay with that.
Okay, I'm gonna look into what kind of impact that has.
Okay.
I'm gonna commit to researching cans versus plastic.
Okay, because we know single-use plastics are, like,
not great. But I don't... There was a Penn & Teller... there was a show called Bullshit on Showtime, and they took on recycling on one of the episodes one time. You should, if you can find it on YouTube or whatever, you should watch it. Because they talk about the improbability of anything that you put in the recycle bin actually being recycled.
Oh, I know.
And it... hurts your heart. Yeah.
Well, and I mean, I may get this wrong, but I believe it was last January, China quit buying our recycles. So we used to have an agreement with China that they would buy our plastic recycles. And I believe it was last January that they quit. So we have a big problem in America right now because we don't have a place that our recycles go. Now, I know you and I kind of jokingly talked about this the other day when that crazy Facebook targeted marketing after Big Brother listens to us. And you remember that gadget that showed up in our feeds that was where you could take the plastic bottle and it cut it to make string and twine.
It would heat the plastic and make stuff with it. Yeah.
And both you and I were like, oh my God, look at this.
This is
and
a cool thing.
We haven't ordered it, have we?
I haven't ordered it either. Should we?
I think we should at least, between one of us, if not both of us, need to order it. Because that's a way to recycle it ourselves, right? If you haven't had it.
Well, at least it's a reuse.
A reuse, yeah.
Yeah.
Reduce, reuse, recycle.
Right.
So one of my artist friends said to me this week, you know, everybody's so big on the recycling, they forget the reuse part.
Okay.
And I think that was a really good thing to bring attention to. Like, how can you reuse something before you put it in the recycle bin that may or may not be recycled, right?
Right.
There's a big question mark around that.
Okay.
What's something you've reused this
week? I think it would be hysterical for us to have that toy and play with it. So I'm going to look at it. I'm going to see how expensive it is, and we'll see about getting it and playing with it.
We'll give a review on that.
Yeah, we'll try it out.
Targeted marketing ads.
They
got our number.
They so have my number. I can only resist being marketed to so many times before I'm like, okay, yes, I do want that bra.
Right?
Yeah. Right? So, I accidentally click, I'm like, oh, what's that? And then I'm like, no, I clicked on it. I'm going to get bombarded with that for the
next
month and a half.
Right, and the ads. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I am in the market for a new vehicle, and you know that's gonna be.
I bet you're getting a lot of those.
Crazy challenging for hybrid or electric, or how do I reduce my footprint there and being able to afford it? Because you know, of course, what I really, really want is probably outside of the budget, like the newest hybrids. That.
Because you want a truck.
No, I've driven a truck for 17 years. I don't have to have a truck. I do like...
You don't think you can get a hybrid?
Well, if you're getting a newer hybrid, like, they're like, twice the cost of regular... Because I want to cross over an SUV. Because going from a truck to down
there,
to...
There it is.
Down to street level.
You don't think you can do
a
that?
A sedan? I don't think I can. I think I need to be a little boosted. And I still have a Girl Scout troop. I still have kids I'm toting around. So having a... where five or more people can fit in the car is an issue, at least for a year or two more.
I'm just going to plant a seed.
Okay.
You could rent a truck for when you have Girl Scout things. Oh, and it would be cheaper than having a truck because you occasionally have Girl Scouts in the car.
That's true.
You know you're not
But going... I haul stuff all the time.
Okay.
I mean, that is true. Like, I'm so used to having a truck, I haul stuff. So, it needs to have a little cargo area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people have met me before and they're like, I can't believe you don't drive a Prius. And I laugh because I'm like, Prius is so tiny. What would I do with it? Right. And I love and admire my friends that drive
Those are
Priuses.
Precious little cars.
They're precious little cars. It's kind of like with smart cars, right? You know, I want to make those an art car. Every time I see a smart car, I want to paint them.
You want to put a mosaic on it?
No, even better. You know those orange and bright yellow? You remember the kids are the plastic toys that our kids played with when they were little? You know the little cars?
Sure.
You know what I'm talking about?
Like
what were they called?
Like,
yeah. You know the ones our kids would get into?
Oh, like the little Fisher-Price things?
Little Fisher-Price where they were bright orange on the bottom and then they had the black
or
and
no,
then
like
they had
little
the
types?
Yellow. It was, yeah. Every time I see a smart car, I want to paint it that color.
Okay.
I don't know. It makes me smile.
Yeah. They do look like toy cars for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. Actually, we're trying to figure out what to do with our daughter and a car, and I might trade in my big honking gas guzzler for two
little ones.
Little ones, yeah.
Oh, you could park two smart cars side by side.
Sure could. take up less space in that thing I'm driving now. Thank you, Ford Flex. There's no justification for driving a Ford Flex. Not anymore. I'm not schlepping kids around.
Yeah.
And I'm driving into work every day. It's just crazy.
Yeah. It's time to reduce the footprint there. That's going to be a huge one. I just have to
I gotta
say
pay my taxes first. Let me pay my taxes and figure that out. And then,
right?
then I will move
That's
on.
That's my other thing is, like, I've had this truck that I'm currently driving for 17 years. And so I haven't had a car payment in long time. Long, long time. So
they've gone
it's
up.
Past time for me to get one. It's past time for me to figure all this out. And whoo, decisions. The paper bags were easy.
Yeah.
What else are we supposed to be talking about today?
What are we supposed to be talking about today? Okay, so I think we've gone through. Okay, so we know what our do we have a like a fitness challenge or anything like that this week? Or I'm gonna say probably not. You're on the road. I'm getting over a cold. I would like to commit to getting up every day and doing something.
Yeah.
But honestly, so far, when I'm not sick, this plan is a lot more diet than exercise, and that's my happy place. I'd rather have it be more about diet than exercise.
And see, I'm the exact opposite. I like to go more exercise than diet.
I don't want to have to sit. I just don't have the time of the day. I don't want to spend more than like 45 minutes in the morning on exercise.
On exercise, yeah.
I don't have it. I can't get up any earlier than I'm already getting up.
I hear you. Well, I'm going to commit. I travel after Wednesday, so I'm going to commit to yoga in the mornings. I'm going to catch at least one class here before I go. And then I anticipate I'll be doing a lot of walking.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you will.
So,
I'm so jealous.
I know. I'm really excited. It's going to be fun.
So, I'm excited for you.
Yeah. So for those that don't know, I'm heading off to New York City. I'm speaking at the status on the commission, the Commission on the Status of Women at the United Nations. So it's a pretty big
deal.
That
is so exciting.
I know. It's pretty wild. I'm talking about best practices for using body wisdom and interplay, the modality that I use, working with women with trauma and refugees and building community and resettlement. So. It's pretty wild. I probably should write my speech.
It makes me happy just knowing that the UN wants to know about this.
Right, right.
That there are people out there who want to know what's going on with women in refugee situations, like, right. And how to reach them and how to help care for them.
Right.
That makes me so happy. And the fact that you get to be up there and give them your best practice is amazing.
I'm totally stoked. I feel really honored and privileged to be able to do it. And, you know, Friday was International Women's Day. And, you know, there's a lot going on in our world. Like, there's a lot locally with politics and nationally. And, I mean, there's, like, as women.
You saw the heartbeat bill?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let's not.
We're not going politics today. Oh. All I want to say to people is pay attention.
Mm.
Pay attention and find out what's going on locally and nationally. And let your voice be heard. Like, I wrote legislatures. I did emails this week. I made calls. Even today we did direct action. We were doing a performance in response to a closing art exhibit for sex trafficking in Atlanta. So the Georgia Women's Caucus of the Arts was doing an exhibit that was gorgeous. A lot of really powerful artwork. And they asked Interplay Atlanta's performance troupe, Soul Print Players, which I'm a part of, to come in and do some performance art. In response to the art, in response to the topic, which, you know, you're like, how do you do that around sex trafficking? But part of it was giving statistics and really telling stories and talking about what we can do and to make a difference in the world. So one of the things we did is we did that, and we also did direct action. We wrote our Georgia senators, because there's a bill right now for the House to protect minors who are, so right now, if a minor is picked up for prostitution, whether they're being sex trafficked or not, they can go to jail. So this law is protecting them, that says they go into a program or get help. They're not sent into the criminal justice system out of this horrible situation.
What's the age for that? Like, if they're 18 or younger?
Yeah.
That's good.
So Well, because one of the statistics today that we were talking about was in the FBI. The FBI in the United States says that most people get coerced in or drawn into prostitution or sex trafficking 11 to 14 years old in the United States.
I knew you were going to say right around 12. I just was like,
And most of them are runaways, right? Most of them are runaways.
Runaways are kicked out of their house.
Or kicked out, yeah, for various reasons. And it's a big deal. It's a big deal and an issue, and I know that's not what our podcast is about, but that's what we were talking about, and it is a big issue for all of us to pay attention to,
absolutely.
And to learn, like, what do you do, and who do you call, and one of the things is they have a hotline. One of the things we were talking about today is that there's a hotline that if you suspect something or you see something, like, to educate yourself on the signs and symptoms, because unfortunately, Atlanta, we're in the top three for sex trafficking cities in the United States.
Why is that? Is that because we're a major airport hub?
Well, it's that and a bus hub. Like, so what happens is when kids run away and they go on the bus, people are waiting for them on the other end.
Hmm.
Right? So one of the things that you can do is you can put the hotline into your phone. So if you see something, you can call it in. Because there are hotlines there's a National Human Sex Trafficking Hotline that I'm going to give you that number right now.
All right, give the number.
888-373-7888.
And we'll put that in the show notes.
Yeah. 888-373-7888. And what I was talking about today, one simple thing somebody can do, put it in your phone. So if you find yourself in a situation where something doesn't look right or your instinct is telling you something's really wrong, you can call the hotline to give the information and to get help.
And if you don't have that number, I'm sure you could just call
911. Yeah. If you feel like it's an emergency, absolutely. You know? How did we get so far off track today?
I don't know.
Well, I did say I could talk about, I think I talked about performance art or what were some of the other things that we said we could talk about. Oh my gosh. I want to tell you about the power, since we're talking about politics and writing people, I want to tell you about the power of petitions. Did you see the article about Trader Joe's this week?
No, I did not.
So the one I'm looking at right now is from Grub Street, and it's by the journalist is Chris Crowley, and it says Trader Joe's is eliminating 1 million pounds of plastics from its stores. 1 million pounds of plastics from its stores. So how the article starts out is he says, following an online Greenpeace petition started late last year and signed by over 91,000 people.
Only that many, and they changed their whole way of distributing their food?
Right? Trader Joe's announced that it would be cutting back on plastic waste. So this is not insignificant, right?
Yeah, that's exciting. It definitely makes me want to shop at Trader Joe's more.
Well, me too. Like, I'm a huge fan of them already. But they're going to no longer offer single-use plastic bags to customers. They're going to replace the plastic products bags and styrofoam packaging with compostable.
Why are my groceries on fire?
Right, alternatives. And they're going to avoid using compounds like BPA and packaging, which I thought they were already doing that.
Yeah, so, wait, what?
Right? I know, that's what it just says. And they're saying it's just the beginning. So they're going to reduce how much produce it sells in plastic packaging. They're going to replace styrofoam trays with recyclable ones. They're going to replace plastic sleeves and plastic flower bags with renewable ones.
Nice.
And eliminate non-recyclable plastic and foil from tea packaging.
Okay.
I mean, that's huge, right?
That's very cool.
I hope that's just the start of a trend. Like, I hope that is the start of a trend for all our grocery stores.
I hope so, and I hope that they see that people vote their wishes with their pocketbook, and, you know, that if you want them to behave differently, you have to reward the ones that are behaving the way you want, right, and ignore the ones that are not doing what you want.
Or write a note to the ones that are closest to you.
Yeah,
and say, hey,
let them know
what our friends
absolutely
over here are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But you even saying that about only 91,000 people, I mean, it's a good...
It's a big number, but I mean, it could have been millions.
Right, absolutely. But it makes me think about, and I don't have a quote memorized, but the Margaret Mead quote, do you know that one that's outside of the Civil and Human Rights Museum? It's about never forget that a small group of people can make a difference, because usually that's all. Here it goes. Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has.
Yep.
Right? Such a powerful thing.
That is powerful.
That we start with ourselves in incremental steps about changing and making a lighter footprint, and we talk to people and we do this and we can make a difference. Like, we can do this.
All right. Well, I think that's a good note to close on. What do you think?
I think that's awesome.
Say it again, and let's just go out with that. So it's been a good week.
It has. I'm glad you're feeling better.
I am. I'm glad I'm feeling better too, and I'm glad Joe's better.
Yeah, we're making it.
We're doing that. We are doing just fine. Thank you very much.
So never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has. Margaret Mead. She was an American cultural anthropologist.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
All right. See you later.
Bye.
Woman feels her power when her voice is being heard. A woman feels her power when her voice is being heard. So listen.